That is Brett Anderson's song of choice. Good evening to you, the man in charge of inside football and a plenty of intel that comes from BA. How are you, mate?
Hey, Finny. How are you? Going all right?
I'm going very well and very pleased with what we did last week. But more on that in a moment. Of course, Richie Hummerston is here thanks to Sportsbet, and you can build a multi in the same game of footy with Sportsbet's new same game multi. Always gamble responsibly. How are you, Richie?
Evening, gentlemen. Just walked in just with a bit of a strut today, didn't we? You saw me walk in, because not only do we have a great result with our multi, we all picked a leg, but the tips, the stats, they got up again. We had 4 from 5 of the over-under lines get up again. We had a great tip of West Coast at the line. So it's just starting to, hopefully it's getting to that stage where the boss at Sportsbet might just tap me on the shoulder and just say, hey,
pull it
just,
back a bit.
Just dial it back a little bit, Hummer.
Now, Rich, how are you going? Because I actually saw a video on the Sportsbet account yesterday where you might have got into the ring with Jeff Horn.
Yes.
It looked like you might have been a little bit worse for wear.
Yeah, well, look, because what was happening is a funny thing, we were filming...
You've got a black eye.
I've got a black eye. We were filming a TV commercial today, and I had to have so much makeup put on this black eye today that they've had to trawl it off with a spade afterwards. But as a bigger lad, I was always convinced that I would at least be a fighting chance against a smaller boxer, no matter what his accolades were. I got in there, and he was probably going at 5%, and I could not lay a hand on him. You can see the footage on the Sportsbet Facebook
page. He punched the living daylights out of
you. Oh, and he just, without breaking a sweat, it was a great experience.
You had the headgear on, and he didn't.
Yeah, and I said, mate, are you sure you don't want some headgear on? He said, afterwards he said, if one of your punches did connect, because I was just throwing haymakers, he'd go, it would fall me for a little bit, but there's just no chance you'd ever land one.
So, do you box a bit?
Never in my life. I couldn't fight my way out of a paperback.
Funny video.
That's a big step up. Yeah. That might be sort of the forerunner to McGregor versus Mayweather.
Well, that was sort of why we've sort of tied it in. Just someone that doesn't really know boxing going in and fighting a champion. And a lot of the comments were, this is exactly how Sunday's going to play out. So a lot of people thinking that Mayweather's going to do it as easily as Horn did it on me.
So you played the role of Conor McGregor and got touched up?
Absolutely belted.
Boy, oh boy. Now, we are hoping for somebody from Recklink to come in this week and tonight. Hopefully Peter Cullen, the man behind Recklink. But just explain what we did last week, because we had our first crack at a multi.
We did. We've decided that the three of us and then a caller is going to put in a leg of a multi each week. Sportsbet's going to put $250 on that multi. And if it gets up, all the entire winnings is going to go to a charity of our choice. Of course, finally, you had Recklink last week, and that multi got up paying $2,800. I think we're just going to round that up to $3,000, and that's going to go straight to Recklink. And hopefully, with Ando's choice this week, we repeat the dose.
Pressure's on.
So we'll do that at the end of the first hour. Now, our winning caller last week was Dean in St Kilda. We've got a selection of prizes for him. For being part of the multi and getting his leg up. If you've got to get your leg up to win the prizes.
We're actually reliant on his leg last week. It was the fourth leg to come in.
Yep, Essendon versus Gold Coast.
And I'll tell you what, there was a time there in the third quarter I thought, oh, surely not. We can't get rolled here after a few of the rougher legs, after the Eagles within the line, after I got lambasted for
last
week.
Are we
going to
touch on that, Finny? Because you gave that no chance. Oh. You were certain our multi was down the gurgle.
I'm glad.
And they did it easily.
I'm glad the game didn't go 5 minutes long.
No, we might have had in trouble.
But we got our four legs in. We got Sydney over the line. We got the unders at Collingwood Geelong. You really are spot on with those unders for total points. So
That was never in doubt, that one.
Yeah.
And then the risky one, the West Coast, but they kept pace with GWS for most of the afternoon. It was well picked.
I was actually at one point ruining the fact that I didn't take them straight out when they were headed. They headed the Giants there in the third quarter, but can't be too greedy.
No, it was a great result. So we'll do that again towards the 8 o'clock hour, the end of this hour.
I tell you what, betting in round 23 too, it's not a tough ask either for a multi. Anything goes. What's the punter's rule? Just don't back anything in round 23. Yep. Too tough.
Yeah. Round 1 and round 23, steer clear of.
Yeah, a bit spooky, but we'll give it our best shot. Let's get stuck into the teams. And tomorrow night, it's a farewell game for some really legendary footballers, Luke Hodge, Robert Murphy, and another one's been added to the mix with the ins and outs, Matthew Boyd. So let's have a look at the teams for the first game of the round.
League teams for Allan Mance. Driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800 Allan Mance. Hawthorn.
We're a happy team at Hawthorn. We're the mighty fighting
Hawthorn. The Western Bulldogs.
Sons of the West. Red, white and blue.
Well, this game is starting tomorrow night at 7:50 at Etihad Stadium. And who would have thought that the all-powerful Hawks, with three premierships, of course, in a row in recent times, and the Bulldogs, the reigning premiers, would be playing in a game effectively that is really just for pride, with neither team... I mean, the Bulldogs are a million-to-one pop to make the eight. But in reality, neither team can make the eight. Who would have thought that at the start of the season? Anthony Hudson and Andy Marr call the action with Gary Lyon and Danny Frawley in special comments. The boundary rider is Rowan Connolly, and Joel Selwood will be part of the Super Box prior to the game. Now, very interested in the odds. What are they, Richie H?
Well, this is Hawthorn's had a good record over the Dogs of late. Eight of the last nine, of course, that one blemish coming this year. But the punters cannot split them. We've taken almost to the exact dollar. 50% each way. Hawthorn, the narrow outsiders, $2. Western Bulldogs, $1.84.
So let's have a listen to the teams. Bredo, give us Leighton Hawks.
The Hawthorn team from the back line, Sean Burgoyne, Caden Brandon, Blake Hardwick. The half-back line of Luke Hodge, James Sicily and Jack Gunston. The centre line is Isaac Smith, Tom Mitchell and Billy Hartung. The half-forwards, Ryan Schoelmakers, Tim O'Brien and Paul Puopolo. The forward line, Luke Bruce, Jared Ruffhead and Jagger O'Meara. The followers are Ben McAvoy, Dan Howe and also Liam Shields. The interchange bench is Taylor Giray, Will Langford, Connor Glass and Harry Morrison. He's in for his first game. The emergencies, Brendan Wycross, Taya Miles and Mark Pitnett. The ins are Shields and Morrison. The outs are Ryan Burton with a foot injury and Ricky Henderson with a back. The new player, as I mentioned, is Harry Morrison from the Murray Bush Rangers under-18s. A smart decision maker, good ball user, played midfield and halfback.
The Bulldogs from the back line, Shane Biggs, Zane Cordy and Dale Morris. Halfbacks are Matthew Boyd, Lewis Young, Matthew Suckling. Centre line of Lockie Hunter, Marcus Bontempelli and Bailey Dale. Half-forwards, Jason Johannesson, Josh Dunkley and Liam Picken. Forward line of Toby McLean, Tom Campbell and Robert Murphy. Ruck division, Jordan Ruffhead, Tom Liberatore and Jack McRae. The interchange, Luke Dalhouse, Patrick Lipinski, Bailey Williams and Caleb Daniel. The emergencies are Mitch Wallace, Fletcher Roberts and Mitch Honeychurch. Into the side comes Matthew Boyd, Tom Campbell and Patrick Lipinski. Out, Travis Cloak with general soreness, Jake Stringer with a hamstring and Tory Dixon omitted. The new man, Patrick Lipinski, what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, very athletic type from the Northern Knights. He's played forward, can play midfield, but he's got some real class when he gets to the footy. He can go up and mark it, so elevates quite well. He's a player who I think the Bulldogs might have, along with maybe one or two other clubs, had ranked really highly in last year's draft. But he's a nice prospect. His VFL form's been really good too when he's been playing down there with the Footscray VFL side.
Well, this game's got more question marks on it than the Riddler's pyjamas.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Don't know which way to go.
Did you see the Bulldogs play in Ballarat last week?
I did.
Yeah, what did you make of that?
Oh, look, I mean, it was a fairly desperate game of football and obviously Jake Stringer going off early.
It changed a lot, didn't it?
It did. Bailey Dale stood up and he kicked four great goals.
Do you reckon the bloke playing in the centre, Marcus Bontempelli, is injured?
I don't know. I'm not. Look, they've picked him again this week, so I'm assuming that he's okay. He just couldn't have an influence on the game. I know that back line was way too short to counter Charlie Dixon and Paddy Ryder when he drifted forward, and obviously they don't hold the same concerns for the Hawthorn forward line, even though Jared Ruffhead and Tim O'Brien and Ryan Schoenmakers can all play aerial ball. They still haven't brought in Fletcher Roberts, and I don't quite understand that. I don't understand why that team plays short. Now, Tom Campbell's in, so potentially Ruffhead, that is Jordan Ruffhead, could go back for the Bulldogs, but
Campbell will probably play forward, I would have thought, too. When you look at that front half, you've got Johannesson, Dunkley, Picken, McLean, Campbell and Murphy. There's not a great deal of height there, is there?
There's not, but he's a ruckman.
To go small. He can play forward a little bit, more than what Ruffhead can.
Yeah, it's a... again, I guess they're coming to the end of a season that hasn't seen them click. As for the Hawks, I mean, they really struggled last week at Etihad Stadium.
Which we didn't see coming, did we?
No, not against Carlton, and full credit to the Blues. It's a hard game to pick, but I'm just going to lean with Hawthorn on the basis that the Bulldogs, bar Bailey Dale, found it hard to score last week, and Travis Cloke did kick a couple of goals. Tory Dixon has struggled, but that is a really makeshift forward line, and whichever way they go, they'll be sort of clutching at straws to try and get a winning score on the board. So I lean slightly to the Hawks. It's just a tricky game. I don't know. I'm finding it hard to draw a line on it. Richie, I'm going to ask you, this is Richie Yates from Sportsbet, any intel on this one that might be able to sort wheat from chaff?
No, well, we were just discussing before we came on air about that seven of the last eight games between these two, and then the last seven Hawthorn night games have all been the unders. But if you look at where these sides have played, they've played down at Tassie, which is quite low scoring. A high scoring affair where it could be, you know, they're going to be trying to get the ball to Luke Hodge, get Rob Murphy, try to get goals in them. And then, look, if it starts to become a bit of a blowout, in the third quarter, you think the floodgates might open. So I don't mind taking the overs in this one, even though it's going against what the stats Bible says. I don't mind taking the overs, which is set at 184 points. Or Luke Hodge, any time first goal scorer, they're going to try to get him a goal in his last game. He's got a good record against the Dogs and kicking goals. In six of his last seven games against the Dogs, he's kicked at least two goals. So you take that at $1.80.
That's not a bad
deal. So what's $1.80 for him to kick a goal?
Any goal. A goal at any stage of the game.
Ooh. Well, there you go.
He's got a good record against him, and they'll get in the footy.
Yeah,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it could be.
Everything that you said, Finey, I can totally agree with when it comes to the Bulldogs scoring. We saw last week with Dale going forward. Yeah, his four goals were great, but they were forced to play Bonampelli forward, which really robbed them of drive through midfield. And as I mentioned, I reckon he's playing injured. He has to be with his movement there last week and through the second half of the year. And spending more time forward has obviously been a necessity through their forward structure, but also potentially too to look after him a little bit. I just look at the forward line of Hawthorn and just have more faith in it, really. When you've got Bruce Roughhead and I know O'Meara's name down there, but then you've got Showmakers, O'Brien and Puopolo, there's at least some guys who you know are going to find the big sticks. So with that said, I'm going to tip Hawthorn in this one. But look, it's one of those ones where round 23, both can't make the finals. What do you make of it? And hopefully we just get an entertaining Friday night game, because when this was probably set a couple of weeks ago, we probably thought, you know what, one of them might be able to sneak in, but last weekend's results really put an end to that.
Hawks for mine.
Yeah,
no confidence.
I've been very concerned about the Doggies for the last month or so. So Hawks for mine also.
There you go. Just an interesting game with many possible outcomes. I do think, having watched North St Kilda play a bit of bruise-free stuff at Etihad last week and the scores flow, I think we might be in for a bit of a shootout. Well, let's turn our attention to a game with much more hanging on it. Collingwood Melbourne, Saturday arvo at the G.
League teams for Alan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800 Alan Mance. Collingwood. Melbourne.
It's a grand old flag. It's a high flying flag. It's the emblem for me and for you.
Saturday afternoon, $1.45. And what are the sports bets on? Sports bet odds, Richie?
Yeah, punters coming for the D's so far this week into $1.57. Of course, they've won the last four against Collingwood and then six of their last seven at the G. So they're going well, the D's. Pies, not a lot of love at the moment. $2.40 with only 13% of the cash on the Pies.
But as soon as you say pies and love, I think of Friday Pie Day right here at 11:16 SEN, because every Friday until the grand final, it's Friday Pie Day. We're giving away delicious hot beef pies from Routley's Bakery from 12 until they run out. Don't pack your lunch tomorrow. Drop in to 473 Swan Street, Richmond from 12 o'clock. If you get here at 12, I reckon you'll be able to convince Kay Bartlett to put the sauce on top. Friday Pie Day, thanks to Routley's Pies, baking the best footy pies since 1947, and I can tell you, they are a ripping pie.
They are beautiful. And the pasties we had last week, too.
Fantastic. Oh, pasties are in town.
Yeah, there was pasties last week. Always like a pasty. A bit of sauce there. So vegetable pasty was a ripper.
Is there meat in a pasty?
Yeah.
Or is it just veggies?
Just my fingers last week when I was eating it that quick that I nearly bit them off.
There is meat in a pasty. You can get a vegetable pasty, but just a little bit of sort of minced beef in a pasty.
This one was a vegetable, I think.
All veggies.
So it was very nice.
Well, let's have a look at the teams. Collingwood from the back line.
the Collingwood team, Braden Maynard, Lyndon Dunn and Tyson Goldsack. The halfback line of Jeremy Howe, Tom Langdon and Jack Crisp. The centre line is Steel Sidebottom, Taylor Adams and Tom Phillips. The half forwards are Josh Dacos, Darcy Moore and Callum Brown. That's the same as last week. The forward line is Jamie Elliott, Ben Reid and Will Hoskin-Elliott. The followers, Brody Grundy back into the team with Josh Thomas and Adam Treloar. The interchange bench, Matt Scharenberg, James Aish, Tim Broomhead and also Mason Cox. The emergencies are Jared Blair, Cale Kirby and Josh Smith. In comes Goldsack and Grundy. Out goes Smith omitted and Jared Blair omitted.
Melbourne from the back line. Michael Hibbert, Oscar McDonald, Neville Jeddah. Halfback line, Nathan Jones, Tom McDonald, Jaden Hunt. Centre line, Jordan Lewis, Christian Petrarca and Christian Salem. Half forwards are Clayton Oliver, Jesse Hogan and Jake Melcham. The forward line of Jeff Garlett, Cam Pedersen and James Harms. Followers, Max Gawn, Dom Tyson, Bernie Vince. And the interchange, Jack Watts, Angus Brayshaw, Mitch Hannon, Alex Neil Bullen. The emergencies are Josh Wagner, Declan Kelty and Corey Maynard. In comes Christian Salem and Jack Watts. Out, Josh Wagner and Billy Stretch.
Nervous.
A nervous Melbourne fan there. Well, I'll try and allay your fears.
You know why I'm nervous? Because on Tuesday, I looked in my email and up popped an email from the Melbourne Football Club to its members and informing about finals tickets.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't have pushed delete quick enough just to get out of my face. I did not want to see that. And I reckon every Melbourne supporter did too. But, it's going to be a big one on Saturday at the MCG. Kick it off.
I'm pretty comfortable with Melbourne winning the game. The lucky man to be named in the team is Bernie Vince. And that's nothing got to do with the tribunal or the match review
He's
panel.
He's just going, isn't he?
Not really. Going at all.
He loves playing Collingwood, though, typically.
So they've shown a bit of faith in Bernie. Jack Watts, I think that's the right inclusion. They need Jack Watts to win finals. He needs to be the third P in the forward line. And if he can work in and around Jesse Hogan and Cam Pedersen and with his beautiful goal kicking, and put two or three goals on the board come finals time, which I think he can start consolidating that form with two or three against Collingwood on the weekend, then he'll be well worth the selection. The team pretty well reads as full, apart from Viney. I think that's just about the side.
That's their full-strength team, from what I would say, their best 22 aside from Jack Viney. So
Collingwood last week kicked 6-1 in the first quarter, 3-4 for the rest of the game. They got, once again, sort of caught on the fringes of the MCG, moving the ball carefully and slowly. I don't think their style of football is going to change before 2018, and it's not going to score them enough goals. It's not a style of football that kicks winning scores. And with a forward line heavily reliant on Darcy Moore, because Ben Reid, I know he's down there, but he's only really a body. I just don't see him as a goal-kicking target. Yeah, he has his days where he gets on the scoreboard, but I wouldn't back them in as a week-in, week-out proposition. That means Will Hoskin-Elliott is required, Jamie Elliott, and Josh Dacos and Callum Brown. They're the right selections. They're good kids, but there's plenty of development in them, and especially when Melbourne do so much work off the halfback flank with Jaden Hunt and Michael Hibbert, it's a real power area for the Demons on the ground. I reckon those two kids will have their hands full just keeping their opponents quiet, let alone hitting the scoreboard. So Melbourne for mine, comfortably.
Yeah. Look, there's still enough quality there in that Collingwood side to have the Melbourne supporter in me really nervous in terms of what can happen. We saw Brisbane score freely last week on transition from defence, and if they were able to spread that Melbourne back line, they were able to walk into inside 50s and score goals. They kicked 90-odd points again last week. So that is the concern there. Melbourne, for the first time in a while, scored freely themselves, kicking, was it 100 and something points for the first time in, I think, about 8 weeks. So they were able to find an avenue to go through Jesse Hogan. Ideally, Melbourne win the game on paper. They've got more to play for and everything that's going for it. They just simply have to win. The time has come for them to step up. If you said at the start of the year that you're going to control your own destiny going to round 23, I think they would have taken that. So they're in a position that they'd like to be in. There's just that nervous little element of being a Melbourne supporter in round 23 and wondering what could happen after what's been going on for the last 12 years. But I think Melbourne should win.
Richie H?
Yeah, I've got to go Melbourne. This Melbourne side, it's not the same. I think if this was happening last year, you just think this young Melbourne side who time and time again as they sort of get in these positions when they should be winning and they lose. But I just feel that this is, they've sort of got over that. They've got the runs on the board. So I'll be going Melbourne. I'll also be having a look at Clayton Oliver to have 30-plus disposals. He's done it his last six times, $1.50.
I'll tell you this. If Hawthorn lose to the Doggies, and we've picked the Hawks, but there's every chance the Doggies could win. There's no way Collingwood will win on Saturday, because that will take them from the bottom six into the middle six, which affords them a different fixture for next season, does it not?
I think it does. It gets them out of the bottom six, where you get to play, I think, the bottom six twice next year, or, yeah, the weighted draw, the three-tier system, so that would take them out of that bottom six. Do clubs really look at that going into
you
the last game?
You bet they do. Oh, to me, that's more important. That's more important than the draft,
especially this year.
We just don't know what the ladder's going to look like though next year. And who would have thought that Richmond would have been a top four side this year, and playing them twice, if you would have said at the start of the year, would be like, well, hello, that's a good draw. And Port Adelaide had a really poor year; they're in that top six. Things change, I think, from year to year, and I don't think you can really look at that from a club point of view. I know supporters will, and we've already had a few SMSs here. I just don't think that can occur. I think the Collingwood players would love to play, if it is Nathan Buckley's final game, which I don't think it is. I think he'll be around for another couple of years. They'd love to finish the season on a high. And from what I'm told from inside the Collingwood ranks, very keen to sort of finish Melbourne season if they can. There's a bit of a friendly rivalry between the two teams who are headed or hosted down at the Amy Park precinct.
Melbourne for mine.
D's for me, but yeah.
Nervous.
One of those games that you just don't want to watch. You just want to turn the TV on at 6 o'clock and look at the score.
Well, let's continue on with league teams and move straight on to Brisbane and North Melbourne.
League teams for Alan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANCE. The Brisbane Lions. North Melbourne.
So join in the chorus and sing it one and all. Join in the chorus.
Well, this might be the tricky one. This is, of course, the loser to get first pick in the national draft. But I think Brett Anderson will point out that that's no certainty anyhow. So all to play for, I reckon. 11-16 SEN are there with Matt Granlin and Kevin Bart. Look, Scotty Lucas on special comments and... the Brisbane team, this is it from the back line. There we go. Daniel McStay, Harris Andrews, Daniel Rich. Half back line of Darcy Gardner, Josh Walker and Sam Mays. Centre line, Hugh McCluggage, Jane Zorko and Ryan Bastinek. Half forwards are Lewis Taylor, Michael Close and Jacob Allison. Forwards are Ryan Lester, Eric Hipwood and Jake Barrett. Followers, Stephen Martin, Tom Rockliffe and Dane Beams. Interchange, Clay Beams, Nick Robertson, Alex Witherden and Reese Matheson. The emergencies are Ben Key, Cedric Cox and Tom Cutler. No change.
The North Melbourne team from the back line is Sam Durden, Robbie Tarrant and Declan Mountford. The halfbacks of Sean Attlee, Scott Thompson and Ryan Clark. The centre line is Andrew Swallow, Luke McDonald and Sam Gibson. The half forwards Nathan Rovat, Ben Mackay and Kane Turner. The forward line is Sean Higgins, Ben Brown and Jai Simpkin, with the followers Todd Goldstein, Trent Dumont and Ben Cunnington. The interchange bench is Jed Anderson, Lockie Hansen, Lindsay Thomas and Aaron Mullett. The emergencies, Josh Williams, Nick Larkey and Cam Zerha. The ins are Mackay, Anderson, Hansen, Thomas and Mullett. Out goes Zeba with a foot, Pruce a shoulder, Nielsen concussion, Garner a foot injury and Cam Zerha, the only one omitted, the new player, Ben Mackay, brother of Harry.
Let's get those odds from Richie H at Sportsbet.
Well, Brisbane playing very, very good footy. They've attracted the most of the money to the market. 80% of the money has come on the lines. They're into $1.42. We opened them at $1.60. North Melbourne out to $2.95. We're actually seeing a lot of money on as well at Brisbane for over 40 points.
Gee, look, I like Brisbane in this. I think that they're really... at the end of the season, made it very clear that they wanted to win as many games as they could. They competed manfully for a while against the Demons, so they were in that game for a bit. And
they were good.
Yeah. Eric Hipwood was good early. It'd be nice to see him play the full four quarters.
There is a doubt over him, I did hear today, that there is a chance he might not play. A bit sore, so that would be an interesting one.
Now, there is a suggestion from Domin Reservoir, a keen North supporter who goes to see all their VFL games, that the inclusions of Lindsay Thomas and Lockie Hansen may be farewell games for both of those players. They're not big fanfare.
And there's probably a few others in that boat too when you look at a few of the names on that list as well.
Possibly Goldstein.
Scotty Thompson.
Yeah, so we'll wait to see what the future holds for North Melbourne. But the immediate present, I think, is a loss and their first wooden spoon in... must be 46, 45 years.
When would the last one have been?
The early 70s, 1972. They, you know, before the 10-year rule, they were the easy beats of the comp. I reckon they might have finished last in 72.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
I'll have a check.
For a team who hasn't had a great deal of success, yeah, they won a couple of flags in the late 70s and then won in the 90s and...
They've won four flags
in that time, but in those 40 years. But they haven't... how many other grand finals have they played in that time? They've played one in 98.
One in 74.
So six grand finals in the last 40 years. I'm sure plenty of other clubs would take it, but they've sort
six
of
six grand
been,
finals and four premierships.
You'd certainly take that. My club would take that. We both put our hands up for that one, so apologies for that one. But for a club who have sort of always been around the middle of the mark, and but to not finish last is a pretty good effort, I think, for a while. In some ways, I guess people would have the view, and I've had the view in recent years, that if you get caught in that middle...
1972, one win, they finished last.
So a long time ago. So if you're finishing that middle part of the ladder for too long where you're not sort of challenging for premierships and then you're not getting access to the draft, that it can really come back to bite you. So the fact that they are getting access to the draft this year, I think, might be a real positive, and whether that helps them pick up players like Josh Kelly or what down the line, well, that remains to be seen. But certainly from a drafting point of view, I think that they'd be... they'd be quite happy to be getting the best access to the best talent in the draft, whether it's Paddy Dow or whether it's Cam Rayner or Adam Chera, Luke Davies, Uniac. There's a few options they could certainly go with. But I just think that Brisbane, from what I saw last week, I've been impressed with them for the whole second half of the year, really, with in terms of what they're building up there. I think their midfield is something that people sort of forget about when we talk about Hipwood, when we talk about Harris Andrews, and I think Dan McStay's last few weeks have been good. Even though he had goals kicked on him last week, I still thought he was quite good in some of the stuff he did with Jesse Hogan. Josh Walker can still bob up from time to time. He took some really strong marks last week as well, and Darcy Gardner's bravery at times is really impressive as well. But their midfield, when you've got Dane Beams kicking three goals out of midfield and having 30 possessions, and Zorko's been in hospital all week with an infection, so that is one to keep an eye on whether he does take his place in the side. But he's a star as well. So, look, I think Brisbane win the game, win it quite comfortably, avoid the wooden spoon, and North, in some ways, whilst disappointed at losing, can get a bit of a, I guess, a golden handshake at the end by getting the number one pick.
Anything that we can run away with in this game, Richie Yates from Sportsbet?
I'd look at the overs again. I think it's seven of the last eight games between these two sides have gone the overs. It's set at 203, which is quite high, but we know how the Brisbane are very high scoring side, and we just think it's you know, essentially it's going to be. I mean, no suggesting that either side's going to roll over, but I just think it's going to be a very free-flowing affair. So take the over 203.5 points, $1.91.
Can Benny Brown win the Coleman still? So is there a likelihood that they try and feed everything through Ben?
How many would he need to kick it?
What's he behind by? Five or six, I think? He'd have to have a big night.
Buddy and Danaher are 4 and 5 behind.
So he's got to get a bag. Yeah, you'd think he's got to get a bag. But you know what? In an open scoring game, he is the funnel, the one that they go through. You can't exactly rule it out. Eight grand finals in that time too. I might have got that one a little bit wrong.
Yeah, 76 and 78 to Hawthorn. So they won the spoon.
Scratch that. Yeah.
They won the spoon in 72. They won the spoon in 70. They won the spoon in 68. But they quickly set things to right. So
is that the 10-year rule that really turned things around for them?
Oh, yeah. It certainly did. Ron Barassi's arrival and the 10-year rule turned easy beats into the glamour team of the competition. Let's put our tips in. I'm tipping Brisbane.
Yeah, Brisbane for me. Interesting one off the SMS there. Steph Martin will get a good look at his 2018 club.
Yeah, Brisbane. He plays for them.
Can you see him go to the Roos? Interesting. I'll keep that in the memory bank, though, for the trade period.
I think he's contracted to play for Brisbane.
Yeah, contracts mean nothing these days.
True. Brisbane all around.
Yep.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, the Swans host the Blues.
League teams for Alan Mads, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800 Alan Mads. The Sydney Swans. Carlton.
Saturday twilight, it's Sydney versus Carlton, 4:35 p.m. start. Jack Heverin and Ben Hart to call the action. And just the ins and outs this time for the Sydney Swans in, Harry Cunningham and Nick Newman out. Dan Hannabury with a hip and Tom Papley with a knee. probably just being monitored prior to the final, so need a couple of weeks off, obviously. And Dennis Armfield in his farewell game comes in for Jack Silvani. What are the odds? Richie Hummerston from Sportsbet.
Well, the Blues beat the Swans in round six. They beat Hawthorn last week, but this is going to be too much of a task if the money has anything to say. $10 on offer for the Blues in a two-horse race. The Swans, $1.06.
Now, we're canvassing for calls because we're going to try to win another charity some big money with our four-leg multi-bet, but we need one of our listeners to join in. 9429 1116. And if your leg is successful, like Dean from St Kilda last week, we're going to put together a prize pack for you. We guarantee it's over $300 in value. It might have some New York Minute Burger, some AFL Team 2017 trading cards in the line packets, some Jack Link's beef jerky. There could be Sexy Land vouchers, Routley's pies, you name it. But we'll guarantee a $300 prize pack. 9429 1116, and we want you to throw in a one of the legs, one of the multi-legs with us. Let's do our Swans versus Carlton first and wait to get somebody to come in and join us for the competition.
Swans win easy, don't they? Just look at those two teams. And whilst Carlton were fantastic last week, you just think that with the way the Sydney are going and the opportunity still, depending on what happens on the Sunday, that they could force their way into a top four finish. You just think there's too much for them to play for to slip up here, and if anything, they might be able to give themselves a bit of a percentage boost that's going to help them jump over Port Adelaide. At the moment, there's just the 0.5% between the two teams when it comes to percentage, and they've got Richmond quite clearly covered. So if the Tigers were to somehow slip up against the Saints and the Swans can have a big win, there's an opportunity for them to finish in the top four. So I just think that Sydney win the game. Carlton, I think, will be brave. Really liking the work of Charlie Kerner in the second half of the year. He's certainly coming hard for the Rising Star. Just not sure if he's going to get there.
Yeah, Sydney the win, but look, they'd be searching for percentage, as will Port Adelaide against Gold Coast, and I think Port Adelaide will find it easier against Gold Coast than Sydney against the generally,
especially on the smaller ground. You think
stubborn
Carlton
Blues, yeah,
being able to defend the smaller ground.
And Carlton were great there last year, by the way.
They were good, weren't they?
It was their best game of the year, even though they lost it. Sydney were in desperate need for a win. This was no practice match, and Carlton took them right to the line. So I like Carlton. We've got our man. Oh, great. It's Dom in Reservoir, a great supporter of the program, big North Melbourne fan, and he's going to try and help us land our four-leg multi. Are you there, Dom?
Yep, but it's a different Dom from Reservoir.
A different one? We've got a
different, it's a different Dom,
from
Dom in Reservoir. Okay.
There you go.
Well, first of all, what's the charity, Bretto?
We're going to go for a charity actually near where I live, where my wife actually drops some clothes down and does some stuff down there. It's called Mum Supporting Families in Need down at Seaford, and they help out families who are struggling down there with clothes, cots, baby essentials and stuff for kids, because not everyone's fortunate enough to be able to pay and buy stuff with young kids, and they do a fantastic job down there on the Mornington Peninsula and based out of Seaford. So we're going to use them as our charity for this week.
And what's your tip?
My tip. Are we going to go for the listener first, or do you want to go?
No, we'll go with Brett Anderson first.
It's a tough week, round 23, trying to pick a multi-tip. I'm going to go with West Coast against Adelaide on the Sunday. I think they're going to have something still to play for, potentially. The Crows might not so much have something to play for. So I'm going to go with West Coast to cause the upset head-to-head against the Crows.
Richie H.
2 weeks in a row going for the Eagles, so we'll go with a lucky streak.
And we'll have to wait right to the very end of our weekend to see if this multi gets up. I'm going to go, I'm a Hawthorn man, he's been a hero of mine for a long time, Luke Hodge. I just think in his last game they're going to get him the ball. We know he kicks goals against the Doggies, $1.80 to kick a goal at any time for me, Finey.
Now, what's the line, Carlton versus Sydney?
It is set at 50.5 points, which is pretty big.
Yeah, no Hennebry, no Papley. You know what? I'm going to get Carlton to cover the line.
Carlton to cover the line. So we are now sitting, before we get to Dom from Reservoir, we're sitting at odds of $9.05. Dom,
who do you like, Dom?
Hey, I like Collingwood to cover the line in the first quarter.
Collingwood to cover the line in the first quarter.
Are there lines in the quarters?
We can put that in. I'm just looking to put that in now. We get that at $1.80. So if we put that in,
what's the line there in the first quarter, Rich?
They have to cover 12 points.
So they need to be within 12 points of Melbourne. They've started really well in recent weeks. That's probably a pretty smart bet, isn't
it? Hey, that's a pretty clever bet, Dom.
They've got that 24 points if you're looking at straight up as well a few times in the sports show.
So, hey, mate, we can barely hear you.
Sorry, they've got out to 24-point lead a few times as well.
They have. Mm.
They did that round one earlier in the year, didn't they?
Sports bet knows that only too well.
A truckload of money, I think, the Pies this year. But, no, that $1.80 at 12 points. So, I'll tell you what, as a Melbourne supporter, Melbourne haven't started that well either this year, so... I reckon it's a good bet.
Okay, we'll put all them together, come up with the final odds after the 8 o'clock news. Welcome Nigel Carmody into the discussion. Keep looking at the games. Richie Humiston, keep following his advice. Do it responsibly and all that still to come on a busy league teams after 8 o'clock.
On 11.16 SEN, Nigel Carmody for Squires Loft Essendon, the stakes specialists.
G'day, Nige. Welcome into the storm. We've got heaps to cover, and with your help, I'm sure we'll get it all done.
Good to be here, boys, and can't believe it's round 23.
Yeah, it's come around quickly. Now, very quickly, before we move on with the next game, which is Geelong and GWS, big game at Simmons Stadium on Saturday night. Richie, have we got the final odds for that four-leg multi?
We do. Once we had the caller come through, odds of $17.20, meaning a $250 investment this week is going to mean a return of $4,399. So,
that charity again, Bretto?
It is Mums Supporting Families in Need at Seaford.
Yeah, so touch wood, we repeat the dose and go two from two.
That would be quite the
might be the end of the multi-segment too, if we get up this week.
Gamble responsibly, but at the moment we're doing it pretty well. Time to have a look, thanks to Alan Mann's Driving Satisfaction since 1978, at a very big game down at Simmons on Saturday night, Geelong and the Giants.
League teams for Alan Mann's Driving Satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800 Alan Mann's Geelong.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all. We are Geelong.
GWS Giants.
We're the greater Western Sydney Giants. We're the biggest and the best, and we will never...
It is a big game. It is Saturday night at 7:25 at Simmons Stadium. Now, just very quickly, if you are trying to communicate to us through our SMS, 0433981116, the server is down at the moment, so we're not ignoring you. But just hang five and I'll tell you when it is back up. Richie, the odds for this evenly balanced game.
Yeah, it's spot on. Very even. We can't split them. The punters cannot split them. $1.89 on offer for the Cats. $1.95 for the Giants. That's about as close as you'll get in betting.
Ins and outs for both teams, please, Nigel Carmody.
For the Geelong Cats, the home side, ins Mark Blitzarves, Brandon Parfitt and Tom Hawkins, the outs. Sam Simpson omitted, Jackson Thurlow omitted, and Zach Guthrie omitted. For the Giants, ins, Rory Lobb and Steve Johnson. Final match perhaps for him on Simmons Stadium. The outs, Harry Himmelberg omitted, along with Matt DeBoer.
And good news for SMSs, the server's back up. So that was a pretty short time offline. Nigel, what an important game. And evenly matched pairing this is. How do you think the fortunes will run?
I think this is almost the West Coast Adelaide game from last year's round 23 in terms of what this might do for the pathway of these clubs in terms of their final hopes, particularly for Geelong, whether they can secure a home final or not, and obviously the destiny of the Giants and who they may potentially play in that all-important first week of September. It's remarkable looking at the numbers between these two teams, Ando, across the course of the season. Apart from win-loss and percentage and putting those things aside, their average stats in just about every category are so closely aligned, which is remarkable for the various styles we see, obviously, played across the competition. I really like the ins for the Giants. That tips it for me a little bit. Lob in, another marking target, all important on the dimensions of Simmons Stadium to complement what the Giants have already got. And Stevie J, just simply because he's Stevie J and, you know, he's going to go down there. I think ruffle some feathers. And it's been some really interesting commentary I did here on the station this morning. I think Gary Lyon was posed the question, is Stevie J in their best 22? He was a no. Now, he was doorstopped that question. For me, I go undoubtedly, I want Steve Johnson in my team in September because he's the track record. For me, he's the 8-year-old horse, Richie, to take some racing parlance, that the form card, the track and distance stuff all lines up to say, if you're not putting him in your quaddie at this time of year, he's going to burn you. And I think...
he's Red Cadeau.
Yeah, he's going to turn up on the big day and on the big stage. So I think great to get it, obviously, a game of footy into him coming into September. So much on the line, obviously, for both teams. That goes without saying. But I just feel like the Giants have a little bit more melding together at the moment. And even interesting just to see... for me, that their depth's starting to be re-established. Tim Taranto is the first player named in their emergencies for this weekend's game. He was outstanding for them early in the season. In his first year of footy, admittedly, as well, he has the temperament for mine to be the sort of player who, despite being in his first season, could come in this final series and have genuine impact.
Had 30 possessions last weekend in the NEAFL too, Tim Taranto. So he is finding the footy, so he is going to bang the door down in the next few weeks. It's nearly the best side, GWS, when you look at it on paper. Like, it's pretty scary when you look at that interchange bench and the team across the board from line to line. We were going through it this afternoon in the office when the teams came through. For me, with Joel Saward being out, it's the big tipping point. If you had have put him in there and said, OK, well, this is what we've got, both sides near enough to full strength, you'd probably lean nearly to Geelong on their home dunghill, where they're very hard to beat. We saw that 2 weeks ago against Richmond. But with him out, GWS looking ominous, pardon me. Obviously, last week in the end, they did enough to get past West Coast. I just think that they're going to be a little bit too good. And you know what? That might be a real muscle flexing on Saturday night of a team that can win a flag.
Yeah, it's a really tough game to pick a winner in. Certainly, player for player, you just favour GWS, but...
Does Scott Selwood go to? Because he's got to play a run with Roll. Is it Shield or is it Kelly? Because West Coast went nowhere near Kelly last week and he torched them.
But nullified Shield. Mm. So it was interesting who they decided to try and cut off. Are you cutting off the guy at the source or are you cutting off the guy that can potentially hurt you on the outside?
Yeah, I think they'll go to Kelly.
I think you've got to, don't you?
Yeah, I think they'll...
just because of what he can do, but it's... pick your poison.
Yeah,
Well, it's whack-a-mole because you hit one down, another one's going to bob up somewhere else. And what's to say there's such intense focus on is it Sheil or Kelly that there's someone else clearly there that can get off the chain?
Can you run two run-withs in modern footy now? A couple of clubs have done it.
And that's where you become. Are you becoming too defensive? Is your mindset too closely aligned to what the opposition are doing rather than playing your own
game? Probably
helps
when you've got P. Dangerfield in your team. It might be able to do it when you've got him running around.
You know, the narrow ground that is Simmons Stadium, I think, lends itself to marking and goal kicking. And that's why I'm just going to lean towards the Giants. I think Patton, Cameron, and even Lobb. I'm not sure whether that's the right lineup if they get to the MCG on the last day in September. But certainly, marking and goal kicking is at a premium down at Simmons Stadium. It gets pretty tight in the pockets for the drop of the ball players to do a heck of a lot. I'm going for GWS in a close call.
Yeah, Giants, a bit the same.
Giants.
Giants for mine. I was a little bit concerned on how quickly Patton and Cameron would sort of gel after going a month or so without playing. No issues last week at all, so I think better for the run. Giants for me.
Let's move on to Port Adelaide and the Gold Coast.
League teams for Alan Mance, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800 Alan Mance. Port Adelaide. We've got the power to win, power to go. Come on, Port Adelaide. The Gold Coast Suns.
We are the Suns of the Gold Coast sky. We are one in the red, gold, blue.
Port Adelaide take on Gold Coast on Saturday night at 7:40. Rob Waters and Julian to stoop to call the action. Port Adelaide will know exactly what they need in terms of percentage if, when they play the Sydney Swans, they'll be hoping then for St Kilda to beat Richmond and the team that finishes on the higher percentage, assuming they both win, to grab the double chance. So they'll have a target set for them. At the moment, Port Adelaide are 0.4% ahead of the Sydney Swans. And against Gold Coast, they should be able to make up, or at least they would believe they could make up any shortfall that the Swans might present with a win over the Blues. For Port Adelaide, in Jasper Pittard, out Jonas suspended. Whilst for the Gold Coast Suns, in Will Brody, Gary Ablett, Jared Lyons and Jack Bowes. Out, all omitted, Jesse Lonigan, Jack Leslie, Josh Schoenfeld and Mitch Hallahan. Nigel, what do you think happens here?
It's been a constant talking point for me on Thursday nights when we've looked at Port Adelaide's form, particularly at home across the course of the season. They beat up the little kids and it's the big dogs they've struggled against. Remarkable to think both these teams have a 1-7 record this season against top eight teams. But Port Adelaide have, as I said, put to the sword the teams that they really should and injected some percentage into their ladder position over the course of the season. And they get a live kill here. Gold Coast, one win from their last 10. They've lost 7 in a row. They're just screeching their way to the line. And Port Adelaide really impressed me in Ballarat last weekend. It was a return to the hallmarks of their game style. They for me, Port Adelaide have this amazing capacity when they're good that their top end will perform, but those wonderful foot soldiers like the Sam Greys of the world jump up and give them what they need. Yeah. They play to their capacity, and they did that last week, and they get a really good chance to tune up Saturday night.
Absolutely. And look, you just got to look at that forward line and see Charlie Dixon, who was obviously a former Gold Coast Sun player, but he was a colossus last week, and in the end was probably the difference between the two sides. I thought Todd Marshall did some really nice things in the second half too, so I think they've got the propensity or the capacity to form a really nice partnership moving forward because they're very different to each other. Robbie Gray and Wingard at ground level, you know what you're going to get out of them. Ollie Wines had a really good year. Oh, look, you just think that they win the game, and they win it quite comfortably. Port Adelaide, and yeah, it comes down to percentage in the end. Gary Ablett's probably last game for the Gold Coast Suns. That's going to be an interesting point from that point of view. You'd think he'd be keen to go out on a high. So Port Adelaide for me, quite comfortably, and then it comes down to a waiting game on what happens on Sunday.
And if they can sneak in a fourth spot, that is mouthwatering because you get a home final. That's what it is. I understand it's 1v4, but you are getting a home final, and that is a massive opportunity for them.
What's the sports bet intel on this one?
Well, Port Adelaide are obviously going to be very, very short favourites. $1.06. They're unbackable. You can't touch them at $1.06. So I'd take them at... I don't mind the line in this. We've got the line set at 48.5 points. An E percentage. Just had a look at the weather just very quickly. The bomb, if you're a person that checks the rain radars, you're going to lose it for 6 weeks. The bomb is closing it. So just a word of advice. But Port Adelaide,
what?
I'd take the line. The rain radar is going for it's getting shut down for 6 weeks.
During spring carnival.
It's going to be... for the I rely on it. I live on it every day.
Yeah, I'm all over it as well.
It's probably my most used app, but it's going.
Is it being upgraded?
I think so. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, we're all commission into that.
Well, that's sneaky. Port Adelaide for all of us. Let's move to Sunday and the Bombers and the Dockers.
League teams for Alan Mance. Driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANS. Essendon. Fremantle.
It's Sunday afternoon at Etihad Stadium. Andy Maher, David Schwartz will be there calling the action with Nicky Dowell and Danny Frawley. You'll be on the boundary, Brett Anderson, as usual, Rowan Connolly, part of the preview. And Brett, can you give us the ins and outs and extended benches?
For the Bombers, it's Joe Watson, Kyle Langford, Trav Collier, Heath Hocking and Sean McKernan coming into the team. Out goes Josh Green with a foot and Craig Bird is omitted. The extended interchange benches: Watson, Langford, Collier, Laverty, Hocking, McDonald, Tippenwoody and McKernan. For the Fremantle Dockers, the ins are Lockie Neal, Shane Kirsten, John Griffin, Daniel Pearce, Tommy Sheridan and Sam Collins. Out goes Ryan Nye, who's omitted. Sean Darcy suspended and Cam McCarthy also omitted. He was shocking last week. The extended interchange bench is Subin, Logue, DeLuca, Pearce, Daniel that is, Tommy Sheridan, Cam Sutcliffe and Sam Collins.
Well, I don't think that there'd be too many people lumping for the Fremantle Dockers. Richie Hummerston, what are the odds?
But on 95% of the cash on the Dons, $1.13. Dockers, $6.05. Hardly taking a cent.
They'll smack them.
Yep.
Essendon, I think, on Sunday is the very short way to analyse this game. They've got more to play for. The potential of playing in their first final series after a few years, and obviously we know what's gone on in the last couple of years. I think there's just too much there. There is a slight chance that if they don't win by too much, that West Coast, if they had a strong win, would be able to jump them on percentage. I don't think they'll be worrying too much about that. They'll have their foot to the floor, Essendon, on Sunday, and they will beat them quite comfortably. 10 goals plus for me.
You know you're going okay when you can omit a bloke that had 23 touches last week at 73% efficiency, and that's Craig Bird. So some reasonable depth amongst the Bombers. Josh Green out robs them again of another creative small. No Green, potentially no Fantasia in that first final.
Collier back in, though, Bird's, could provide that role.
Collier gives them some zip, and obviously McDonald, Tippenwoody to maybe take on a bit more of a role. And Sean Darcy suspended, but I think Fremantle, that's probably almost the green light of their 2017. To bring in a ruckman like that, who for some clubs and at the draft table was a real stretch, he's come in and played 8 games, averaged 34 hitouts a game. They've found their succession plan for Aaron Sandilands.
Yep.
And it's telling that Cam McCarthy has been omitted. A lot of faith and a lot of hope invested in him being the key forward to carry the team forward. It just hasn't worked out. So a Fremantle looking to recraft the team for next season, and just a bit of a warning to Cam McCarthy that nothing to be taken for granted.
Could be seeing the end of a few Dockers too that have been very loyal soldiers and great performers for a long time. You could have to question whether Michael Johnson goes on next year. Hayden Ballantyne's another one. We know John Griffin's been brought into the side, so it's probably his final game, you would think, at AFL level. They've got some big changes to be made at list management level. Probably Daniel Pearce as well would be another one you would consider seeing. He spent a lot of time in the waffle. So we might be seeing the changing of the guard from Fremantle in the last game of the year on Sunday.
I'm suggesting this would be it for Daniel Pearce, NAB Rising Star winner of his year, not just a nomination.
Probably Nick Subin as well. You would think that's probably in that category as well. So
possibly, but with Daniel Pearce, over 250 games of league football, and he may be coming to the end of the road. Let's move on. Richmond St Kilda MCG Saturday afternoon.
League teams for Alan Mads, driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800 Alan Mads. Richmond. St Kilda. When the Saints go marching in,
oh, when the Saints go marching in. Plenty on the line in this game. It's 3:20 Sunday afternoon at the MCG. Hopefully all is completed between McGregor and Mayweather, so we can all focus on Nick Riewoldt's last game and a must-win game for Richmond to retain their spot in the top four. Ins and outs and extended benches, please, Nigel.
Ins for the Tigers, Jaden Short, Sam Lloyd and Connor Menadue. Their extended interchange is Jaden Short, Sam Lloyd, Oleg Markov, Jack Graham, Nathan Broad, Connor Menadue and Jason Castagna. For the Saints, four ins, Jack Loney, Brandon White, Daniel McKenzie and Bailey Rice. The out is Sam Gilbert with an abdominal strain. The extended bench, Jack Steele, Jack Loney, Kobe Stevens, Brandon White, Daniel McKenzie, Bailey Rice and Mavuela. Bailey Rice will make his AFL debut if selected.
And he'll be only the second St Kilda father and son player, the other being Sarakowski.
Yep, David.
David Sarakowski.
Was Chad Davis a father-son?
No, he didn't. He wasn't taken as, he was a father-son, but he wasn't selected as a father-son. So just a little bit different with Chad Davis, even though his father played Alan enough games for the club. He wasn't selected as a father-son selection. And Ben Stewart was given a look at the club, Ian Stewart's son, but didn't make the cut.
Grade.
So, yeah, we've, as a club, St Kilda hasn't benefited from father-son. I think along with North Melbourne, have had the most meagre return.
Yeah, they probably
Luke McDonald might be the only North Melbourne father-son.
Nick, so Nick Winmar wasn't a father-son, was he?
No, he's a nephew. He's a cousin. Not even a nephew. I think he's a cousin of Neil Elvis. So
there you go.
No father-sons of recent times. Bailey Rice to change that. No, Steve Lawrence was not a father.
He was recruited from Brisbane, wasn't he? Yeah, yeah. After obviously Barry was his father, wasn't it?
Yeah, Barry's father. And in fact, Barry Lawrence sat on the bench for a Morningside or one of the QAFL
to
make him qualify for Brisbane.
There you go.
So Steve Lawrence came down in a trade, but definitely not a father-son.
Plenty of emotion out there on Sunday, finally, with Nick Riewoldt probably playing his last game of league footy. We saw it on the weekend at Etihad Stadium, so it's going to be an interesting one from that point of view, playing against his cousin Jack, obviously.
Jesse Smith was a North Melbourne father-son. Yep.
Yep.
Yep, that is spot on.
Brought across. I don't mind St Kilda in this game for a few different reasons. And look, coming back from Perth and a 100-point win, I know that the motivation is there for Richmond to win and finish in the top four, but there's just something about St Kilda that I think this time out they might be better suited. We know that they had a massive win against them last time they played at Etihad when they jumped them, and Richmond were never really in the game. So it's hard to read into that too much. But I just think with Nick Riewoldt's last game, the Saints playing a bit better footy, that they're more than a fluker's chance in this one. And you know what? I might even tip them on Sunday against Richmond. And I don't think the Tiger fans will be going into this one too confident. I think they'd be wary of what could happen.
Yeah, I'm lobbing with the Tigers. They were so sharp last week.
They were super.
Against Fremantle. St Kilda's last visit to the MCG was horrific, but their last game against Richmond was outstanding. So which St Kilda turns up, the one that pants Richmond or the one that couldn't play at the MCG last week? Richie, what are the odds and what do you think?
Well, funny you... the punters sort of echo the sentiment of Ando, and there's a bit of a caution being expressed with the Tigers here. We've taken almost more money on the Saints despite being $3 outsiders. So the... some of that is lapping up the good price on St Kilda, but just reckon there is a little bit of caution out there with the Tigers. I just don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot on the line for them. The Tigers, though, they are short $1.40. But just a little tip, Jack Riewoldt, first goal scorer. He's done it four times at the G this year. He's been the leading goal scorer three of the last four games against the Saints. $7.50 to slot the first on Sunday.
Nigel, what do you reckon in this one?
In short, Richmond copped a smack in the gob early 7 weeks ago at Etihad and never really recovered from it. But St Kilda's contested ball stats that night, they're about plus 80 in contested ball. On paper, these two teams, the differential is about plus 35. So for me, it's simply about Richmond being able to use not only the ground and the different conditions to Etihad to get their hands on the footy, but perhaps defend St Kilda a bit better. And I think they can learn somewhat from what Melbourne did in the first two quarters of their match against the Saints a couple of weeks ago, again, helped by the fast start. But I thought they did really well to not only deny St Kilda the ball, but defend their ability to chip it around and generate possession chains. So I think the Tigers can take something from that. I really hope Sam Lloyd gets rewarded for having 50 touches and kicking four in the VFL as well. Richmond to win and secure a top four berth.
Richmond for mine, and likewise.
Yep, Richmond for Bredo. Mine.
Saints for me. I just hope Dustin Martin can get through 2 hours without getting something that might earn a fine. That's probably the only thing to really look for from that one.
Now, news is coming through that Gary Ablett has failed his final fitness test tonight and will not be part of the squad to take on Port Adelaide in Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval on the weekend. And the source there, the Footy Show, but we've also got it here off the SMS. And I think there was always going to be a big watch on Gary Ablett being part of that final Gold Coast team, so do not expect Gary Ablett to play.
Jump on that Port Adelaide line.
He's moving house.
I think that's already been done. One more game for discussion. Last game for the weekend. Last game for the home and away season. West Coast and Adelaide.
League teams for Alan Mance. Driving satisfaction since 1978. Call 1-800-ALAN-MANCE. The West Coast Eagles.
We're the Eagles. West Coast Eagles. We're here to show you why.
Adelaide.
We're the pride of South Australia. We're the mighty Adelaide
Crows. It's the last game of the home and away season, but I tell you what, do not miss tomorrow at 11:16 SEN. There's more of these coming up. Friday Pie Day, magnificent Routley's pies available from 12 o'clock for free. No cost. Freebie. Do not pack a lunch. Do not take money for lunch. If you're in and around 473 Swan Street, if you're on the road, if you're a tradie, come in and get a beautiful pie. And they are a ripping beef pie. And the pasties are up for grabs as well. Friday Pie Day, Routley's baking the best since 1947. West Coast Eagles versus Adelaide. Tim Gossage, Jack Crawshaw and Paul Hazelby, the callers, and they're forming quite the team. Nigel, ins and outs and extended bench arenas.
For the West Coast Eagles, ins Mark Lacroix, Jackson Nelson, Will Schofield and Jake Waterman. The out is Josh Hill omitted. The extended bench, Jamie Cripps, Lewis Jetta, Luke Partington, Jackson Nelson, Will Schofield, Mark Hutchings and Jake Waterman, who would be a debutant if selected. For the Crows, the three ins, Paul Seedsman, Kyle Hardigan and Wayne Miller. Their bench, Riley Knight, Paul Seedsman, Dave McKay, Kyle Hardigan, Hugh Greenwood, Tom Lynch and Wayne Miller.
Well, it could be a huge game, 440, if West Coast Eagles are in reasonable touching distance of the finals. If Collingwood defeat Melbourne, they'll be alive. If Essendon fail to defeat the Fremantle Dockers by a substantial amount, they will still be a bolter's chance. So very much dependent on results that precede them. But West Coast, I think, given an opportunity to make the eight against a team that is ensconced in top spot, would be able to do it. The problem is, I don't think that'll be the case. I think by the time this game ticks around, West Coast will not be able to make the eight. And as they both cruise to the line, clearly the better team, Adelaide Crows, to win. So that's my tip.
I've just got a funny feeling this game will be live, and that's why I've tipped West Coast in our multi-bet, and I'll be tipping them here. I think they've got a bit more to play for. They beat Adelaide quite comfortably in the round 23 game last year. And look, I'm just taking a punt that Josh Kennedy is going to get really hot, and potentially Daniel Talia not playing. There's an opportunity there for maybe some goals to be kicked, and we saw last week that he did against a good team. So I'm going to go with the Eagles as a fluker's chance.
Nigel?
Crows for me, 9 more inside 50s a game than the Eagles on average. Won the corresponding fixture between these two teams last season in round 12. So it's been interesting how the road team's been winning the games in recent history between these two squads, and I think that'll prevail again here.
And final word to Richie H.
Yep, joining the punters, 80% of the cash being on the Crows, $1.50. You've got the Eagles at $2.62, but I'm going to go with the punters and the Crows.
That's it for league teams. Richie, can you just run us through that sports bet multi? Of course, bet responsibly, but we got them cash last week for Recklink and trying to do it for mums for...
Mums supporting families in need.
In the Seaford area. What's our pick for this week?
So this week we are cheering on Luke Hodge to kick a goal tomorrow night at any stage. West Coast just to win against Adelaide. Carlton to cover a 50.5 point line. And Collingwood have got a 2.5 point start against Melbourne in the first quarter. So if they're within 2.5 points at quarter time, that bet will pay.
Good luck.
It's look, it's a little longer than last week. Probably not as confident. We said round 23, it's a bit hit and miss. But you know what? We've got stats on our side, and he's, fingers crossed, another $4,500 comes out of the Sportsbet coffers.
Now, Richie Humiston was here. Thanks to Sportsbet for the AFL this week with Sportsbet. If your team goes 24 points up, you win. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly. And Richie, next week we'll do it all again on a special edition of the finals preview. Of course, no teams next week, but it'll be a special finals preview week, and looking forward to your contributions.
Looking forward to it, boys.